All righty, here we are, 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 22 to 30. 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 22 to 30. All right, we'll work our way through this tonight. I'll show you some interesting things, and we'll just enjoy this passage of Scripture tonight. I think we can learn something from the Word of God tonight. 1 Kings chapter 8, 22 to 30. Solomon's Prayer. This is number one. We'll have a couple of them. And so with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we would ask that you would bless this time that we have together. Lord, I pray that you would open our understanding, that we might understand the Scripture. I would ask, dear God, that you'd grant us a filling of the Holy Spirit. Forgive us, dear Heavenly Father. Forgive us of sin. Work amongst us. Save the lost, dear God. Call men to preach. Father, we would ask right now that you would just bless this time that we have together right here tonight. Lord, teach us from your word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right, here we go. Solomon is the temple has been finished. And so this is Solomon's first prayer here. And so let's go to verse 22. We'll start right there. And said, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And then in verse 23, and he said, so what you've got now, you've got posture in prayer. And when it's interesting because when you read this, you find that Solomon's had a couple different postures in prayer here. Right here, you got him standing in front like this, okay? But now go to verse 54. Go to verse 54. And here's what you find now in verse 54. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. So there you find him. He's on his knees. Like this, all right? And so we want to talk about posture in prayer. Well, there's a thought for you. And so some of the folks that we used to work with behind the Iron Curtain years ago, that's how they prayed, especially the Russians. That's how they would pray. Johann Friesen and them, the minute they hit their knees, boy, their hands come up. Their hands come up and their head went down, and that's how they prayed to God. And that's posture in prayer. And so we find here after Solomon, in his posture in prayer, humbled himself before God here in verse 23, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. Boy, I could preach a sermon on that verse. What we have here now is you're going to find this insinuation about keeping. You're going to see that several times in this passage of Scripture. And so here in verse 23, it said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or earth beneath. Then it says, who keepest? In other words, he protects this. He guards this. Covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. What you see here, right up front, the benefit of commitment. This morning I preached about focus, the power of a focused life. And so what you have here is look who he's talking to. All right? And he talks about the spread forth of the hands. And he said, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. Listen, we've got to realize something. God does not like half-heartedness. It's an insult to deity. It's an insult to sovereignty. It's an insult to a holy and a righteous God to approach him half-hearted. He rewards those that come to him with all their heart. Amen. The others are not mentioned. Anything less than that is not mentioned, is it? It doesn't say the covenant mercy with the servants, with thy servants that walk before thee half-hearted. Doesn't say that, does it? No. You see, with all their hearts. That's ever so important, isn't it? And so, know this. There is a benefit of commitment. There's a benefit of commitment. Of this thing of, with all their heart. Would God say that about us? Would that be said about us? Would David say that about us? You see, with all their heart, that's why it's so important for you and me to make sure that as we approach God, God's house, God's word, that we don't do it half-hearted. God pays attention to how we approach him. God pays attention to how we serve him. God pays attention to how we act in his presence. These men, they served with the Lord. They served the Lord, look at this, before thee with all their heart. They were not half-hearted. When they went to approach God, they'd done it with all their heart, to serve God with all their heart. The Bible says, as one of the verses I was going to use this morning, I didn't, the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. You know what? That's full-hearted, isn't it? You see, that's why it's so important, with all their heart. And so, there's a benefit of commitment. Now, look at the benefit. Who keepeth covenant and mercy. Covenant and mercy. In other words, God's made a covenant. And his mercy is there. And he's going to keep his covenant, not with everybody, not with the half-hearted, not with those people that's going to approach God lackadaisical. Not with those people that's just going to take it, well, I'll do it, maybe I will, maybe I won't, whatever. No, 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 no. There's a specific group of people who keep his covenant mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. That's a specific group of people. You see that? And you and I need to pay close attention to that. Because God says that's the type of people that I'm going to keep covenant with and have mercy for. Amen. Them, the ones that come to me with all their heart. And so never forget that. That is a tremendous passage of Scripture. And so, It's a very important scripture. How should we approach God? With all of our heart. How should we serve God? With all of our heart. You see, so as I move on, know this. You got a semicolon there, but know this. God takes note of how we serve Him. Do we serve Him with all of our hearts, or are we just half-hearted about it? All right, verse 24. Who has kept with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, thou spakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. What a verse that is. Man, that thing's overloaded. Now watch this. See the word kept? See that word? Well, that word right there means protected. The others talk about the word guard, guarded. But here it says, who has kept with thy servant, David. In other words, those people who has kept, they guarded, they protected thy servant, David. They protected him. That word kept means protected here. All right, usually you talk about keep, so on like that. It means to guard against and so on. Here, that word kept, that Hebrew word there for kept, means to protect. So who has protected with thy servant David? In other words, they protected King David. They protected God's man. They were guarding him. They kept him. They protected him. And so he said, my father, that thou promised him, thou spakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Solomon, have you noticed something? We talked about it last week. Solomon understood the prophecy that God had given concerning who was going to build the temple. And Solomon understood the prophecy that God had given him, and that God had said, hey, you're not going to do it, but your son is. And now it's to him. And so Solomon says, now thou spakest with thy mouth and hast fulfilled with thine hand as it is this day. God said it, God did it. God said it, God made it possible. God said it. Solomon went to work. And Solomon's recognizing the fact that God made it possible. God made the relationship with Hiram, with all of the cedar and everything, possible. God made it possible. He gave men unusual abilities to handle gold and silver. And what to do and how to mold that stuff. And that's what we read about, the fact that how God provided all of these people to do the work. And folks, listen, that happens often. Many times we don't recognize it. When we started this project here, several people asked me, how you going to do it? I don't know. I said, it's not me. God's going to do it. And, well, where are you going to get the money from? What are you going to do? All these questions. Listen, when God tells you to do something, you don't have the answers. Your only answer is God. That's it. And, you know, here we started this project, it was winter, and lo and behold, what happened? Mr. Souter, that usually pours concrete, does sheetrock work. And now he's out of work. It's winter, you don't pour much concrete in winter. So next thing you know, he's here working, you know. And so we're tearing all kinds of things apart. Even Dan was here when we first started off. I got a picture of you. You You've been eternally caught working. Hope that doesn't ruin your reputation or anything. But the fact of it is, as you see, Solomon is recognizing this. Who has kept, in other words, those people that have protected and guarded David, my father, that thou promised him. Thou spakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled with thine hand as it is this day. Listen, the one thing about knowing God's will is realizing it's up to God to make it happen. When God tells us to do something and we know that that's what God wants us to do, go for it. God will make it happen somehow, some way. If there's anything I could say, if I started writing about that, it's just simply that. Is the fact that God said, do this. And everybody I knew said, how are you going to do that? I don't know anybody doing that. How's it going to work out? What are you going to do? I don't know. I just know one thing. God said, go. That's it. And so that's how it works. And he says, look here now, thou hast fulfilled with thine hand. Now look, it said, as it is this day. Solomon recognized that God started this project and God has concluded this project. If you and I can learn to trust God, what God has said, we'll find that in our lives there's going to be things God said back here, and now we're seeing the conclusion of it up here, as it is this day. In other words, it's done. God said it. God provided. God did it. And listen, that's the only thing we can say. You can't add anything to it. You can't take nothing away from it. Solomon might have been wise, but Solomon didn't have the ability to make all those other people and give all those other people the ability to do what they did with the silver and the gold and the making of all the cups and the ornaments and what the women did as far as sewing all that stuff together. No, Solomon didn't do that. Solomon recognized, I'm going to start this thing, but God's going to have to provide the people that has the ability to do that. And that's exactly how it works. And so Solomon recognized the fact, God said it, God did it as of this day. And so in your life, listen, when you go to see what God would have you do and you're wrestling with something like that, God's will, just know this. If God wants you to do something, you'll do it. He'll provide. He'll make it possible. He wants to use you to get something done. Watch this now. Verse 25. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep thy servant David, my father. Now the word keep means to guard, to maintain him. Keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him. See that? Solomon knows what God has done. You promised my father David, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel. But now watch this. That's conditional. So that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. So that thy children take heed to their way. Man, how important is that? here's an opportunity. I've said that God will always, there's always going to be a man on the throne out of David's heritage. But he says, so that thy children take heed to their way. Well, we know from reading the Bible that man after this, there were some people that got on the throne that wasn't very nice, huh? Things went downhill, didn't they? See, God's going to bring about something. And that he did, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we find here, so that thy children take heed to their way. In other words, if you want God to put you on the throne, you better pay attention to how you live before God. The possibility is there. The possibility is there. Don't ruin the possibility. When you start reading books about prayer, one of the subjects that's quite often listed is the possibility of prayer. In other words, what it's going to do, what it can do, that possibility of prayer. You see, what we find, there's a possibility here, so that thy children take heed to their way. Why? Because if they don't, they're not. That they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. It's conditional. See that? Opportunity with God is there. But you could ruin your opportunity. The tragic thing is that so many people, boy, they ruin their opportunity. With a sinful life, so all they ruin their opportunity. Don't do that. Take heed to how you live before God. Don't ruin the opportunity of answered prayer. Don't ruin the opportunity of having a good relationship with God. Don't ruin the opportunity of having the Holy Spirit present in your life. And instead of grieving him, don't ruin the opportunity of having him present working in your life. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, look at what we do. Man, we just rob ourselves of power, ability, knowledge, everything. It's a spiritual work. And so take heed in this. Don't miss the opportunity of having a powerful life. If you grieve the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have a powerful life, are we? Right. Nope, none of us. Watch this. And now, verse 26. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou speakest unto thy servant David, my father. Solomon now is challenging God. Solomon now is telling God, God, verify your word. Verify it. Make it known. You've made these promises. Now let all of us know that you're going to verify your word. You want to know why the temple filled with a cloud? That was God verifying his word. He said, verify. Let thy word, I pray thee, be verified. Why did Solomon ask that? Because if God does something to verify his word, nobody can deny it. You and I, at times, people talk about our Bible today. I never thought I'd live in a time when the Bible that I use has turned out to be old, antique, do this, do that, everything else, all this other stuff come in. But I'm there, huh? The fact of it is when we start looking at our King James Bible, there's all kinds of books written now about it's verified. The Word of God is verified. The Word of God, and why use the King James Bible, and look how it was translated. What's all that about? That's verifying the Word of God is what it's doing. And Solomon said, God, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified. Listen, if there's anything you and I need to know for sure, is that we have the Word of God. Now just think about this, how powerful that is. When you become convinced that you've got the Word of God, you'll have a completely different view of your Bible. You'll have a completely different view of the words within the Word of God. Why? Because all of a sudden now you realize this is God's word to man. God that created everything. There was nothing, then there was something. And boy, God spoke it all into existence. How do we know these things? Because God gave us his word. I mean, boy, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue, they wanted to kill him because they thought the earth was flat. But the Bible talks about the circle of the earth. All they do is read the Bible. They know the earth was round, not flat. You see, what we find, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified. If there's anything you and I could ask God for is the fact that, God, would you verify your word somehow to them, to him, to her, to me? God, convince me of this. You see, why? Because it's going to have such a power in your life. It's going to have such a life-changing experience for you. It's going to have something. You're going to be so convinced that the Word of God will actually change in your hands. When you look down at it and realize, whoa, this is God's book. Thus saith the Lord. Now all of a sudden, boy, it's got a whole different thing. You read it, and then somebody says something, I say, no, all wrong. No wonder the devil does not like the Word of God. Because when God verifies his word to you as an individual, that's how you're going to carry it. That's how you're going to speak it. That's what you're going to stand for. Amen. And if you're going to stand for right while the devil's trying to do wrong, you're going to be in big conflict with the devil, aren't you? Right. Well, we're already in a fight with the world. Amen. Now watch this. So now look what he says, verse 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded. Now, I want to show you something of grave importance here. All right, you ready? Now, I'm going to show you something, and you really need to see this. The answer to that question is no. God's not going to dwell on the earth. Okay? His name is. Amen. Drop down to verse 30. Verse 30 says, "And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place." Amen. Heaven is the dwelling place of God. Amen. God's not going to dwell on earth. So what is this place then? What is this place? Well, let's take a close look at it and learn something. Verse 28. "Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to this supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken." Now remember what the word hearken means? That's right. It means to hear and do. The next three verses have the word hearken in them. "O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said my name shall be there." Now that's what I want you to see. That's very, very, very important for all of you and me and others. Why? Listen, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Lord said, "Where two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst." Amen. Right? The Bible declares that God dwells in heaven. All right? The Holy Spirit dwells within us, works within the church. But look what he says there. "Even toward this place which thou hast said, my name shall be there." That's in verse 29. You see, that temple, God's name was tied to that temple. It was God's name. Why is that so important? This building right here represents God. And either we're going to disgrace God's name, or we're going to bring glory and honor to God's name. You see, verse 29, "that thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said," God said it, "my name shall be there." You see that? And so when somebody saw that temple, that's God's house. That's God's. It belongs to God. That's God's. You see that? His name shall be there. And so it is down through the centuries. These places we have on earth are tied to God's name. And how we take care of this property represents our view of God. And God's name, this place here, this temple, was going to represent God. That's where God's name was. And so we find, even where we're at right now, right here. This place represents God. Now look what it says, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. In other words, he was going to pray. It was going to be a place that they would pray toward. Why? Because it represented God and God's house and God's name. You see that? It was a place where they could focus their prayers. It was a place that represented God. Now, you find the word hearken in verse 28. You find the word hearken in verse 29. You find the word hearken in verse 30. See that? And it means to hear and do. Hear and do. Now, folks, let me show you something that's very intricate when it comes to the Word of God. Now just think about this. Solomon prayed up here in verse 26. Let thy word, I pray thee, be verified. See that? All right, now watch this. Then down here, verse 28, 29, 30. Hearken, hearken, hearken. Why is the word hearken used here? It means to hear and do, doesn't it? So what you find now, Solomon is praying to God. He's praying toward this place that represents God. He's praying toward this magnificent place that represents God. And he's saying to God, you see, hearken is the right word in the right place, because now he's praying to God, saying, God, hear and do. I'm praying to you, God. Hear and do. Verse 29. Look what he says. I got it highlighted for you there. That thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. In other words, God, hear and answer my prayer. Hearken. Hear and do. Hear me, God. That's what you find up in verse 28. O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. Hear and do. Hear and answer my prayer. Verse 29, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer. Hear my prayer. Do it. Hear my prayer. Respond to it. Hear my prayer. Answer it. Hear my prayer. Hearken to hear and do. Now verse 30. Watch this. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant. There's the word hearken again. See that? So here it is, hear and do. The word hearken is in the right spot, isn't it? That's ever so important to you and me. That's the word of God. That's God saying, make sure the word hearken is put here, here, and here. See that? Verse 30, and hearken, hear and do, thou to the supplication of thy servants. In other words, hear and answer my prayer. Hear and do, God. And of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place. What did Jesus say about his place? You've made my place a den of thieves. It's supposed to be a place of prayer. Isn't that right? That's what Jesus said. Right? And Jesus went into the temple, and what did he do? Man, he threw over the money changers and run now the animals out and run the people out. And he said, my house shall be a house of prayer, and you've turned it into a den of thieves. You see, so what you find here is the fact that this goes right along with the New Testament, doesn't it? Of what the house of God was. Notice this now, there in verse 30. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. In other words, God's saying, you come here, you act like you're supposed to act, dress like you're supposed to dress, talk like you're supposed to talk, offer what you're supposed to offer. You do this. This place represents me and my name. You do that, and I'll hear in heaven. You see that? And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. And look what he says. And when thou hearest, forgive. Now, why in the world why are we going to end with that tonight? Forgiveness is the first thing that must happen before we can have fellowship with God. Amen. If there's no forgiveness, there's no fellowship with God. Even you and I knowing that, boy, when we go to the Lord in prayer, about the first thing we say is, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Right. Isn't that right? Right? When Jesus was teaching the disciples about prayer, what did he teach them? You know? Boy, tell them, no, forgive us of our sins. And so we find that here thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Why? Because if God's not going to forgive, even though he hears that, he's not going to answer. Why? Because there's unconfessed sin in your life. And you want to come to God hanging on to sin? That don't work. Not at all. No, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Up in the Psalms and the Proverbs, you read it all through there. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, the Bible says. To regard is to keep it, to protect it. I've got something, I'm going to keep it. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So when he says here, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Amen. Solomon understood that the first thing that's got to happen is forgiveness. If I'm unforgiven, my prayers aren't going anywhere. Forgiveness is the first thing that must happen before we can have fellowship with God. I thought that was an amazing statement. Just think of what you've read here tonight. Solomon's praying and he's talking about the temple, he's talking about God, he's talking about hearken, hear, hearken, hearken, hearken. But look what he says. Solomon understood this. That's why the first thing you read this, Is there anything specific in what we've read up to this point about what he wants God to do? Now some stuff in general we could talk about. But the one specific thing he asked of God is this: God, when you hear, forgive. Because he understood. No forgiveness, no communication. No forgiveness. It ain't going to work. Forgiveness is that first thing that must happen before we can have fellowship with God. Solomon knew it. And so he brings us to this point. And he says, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, forgive. He didn't say answer the prayer. He didn't say give us bread, kill the enemy. What? No. Solomon says, the first thing God wants you to do is when you hear us praying, forgive. Why? Because no forgiveness, no fellowship with God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, the Bible says. You see that? That's why Solomon understood. If we want our prayers heard in heaven, God must forgive us of our sins here on earth. Other than that, it's not going to happen. Other than that, it's all in vain. That's why he says, and when thou hearest, forgive. The importance of forgiveness cannot be understated. Cannot be understated. Listen, we've got to have God's forgiveness, or we're not going to have any type of viable prayer life. Not going to work. I don't care whether they're sins of commission, sins of omission. I don't care if they're secret sins. They're only secret to you. They're not secret to God. That's why when I read that, I thought to myself, here's this man making this prayer. Oh, what a prayer it is. And then he said, but God, when you hear, forgive. Wow. You see, ladies and gentlemen, may you and I understand the importance of approaching the throne of grace clean. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to know something. We need forgiveness. Amen. We need to approach God clean. We need God to forgive us so that we can approach him clean. Amen. And then we can pray with expectation. But as Solomon has said, O Lord, my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. And then he said that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And then he says in verse 30, and hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they shall pray toward this place. You see that? And then look what it says. And when you hear, forgive. That's what we need. Forgiveness. All of us need forgiveness. As I end this, I just want to say, there's another section to this prayer that's amazing. But I think one of the things that amazed me about Solomon, he had some wisdom. But boy, he had posture in prayer, didn't he? He starts off like this and winds up on his knees before the altar. But he understood something. And ladies and gentlemen, let me close with this tonight. When you understand spiritual application to your life, that is more valuable than gold. Solomon understood the spiritual application. That's why he exalted God. That's why he said, God, I built this house. But he didn't say, I built it, did he? He said, you said it, you built it with your hand. You did it. And why'd you build it? Why? Because you said your name would be here. God, we can't build something here on this earth for you to dwell in. You dwell in the universe. How are you going to live in that place? And God said, I'm not, but that's where my name's going to be. You see that? And so you and I had better pay close attention to the house of God, because this is where his name is. But then Solomon, in all of his wisdom, says this. God, when you hear, forgive. Wow. Solomon understood, no forgiveness, no prayers answered. Solomon understood, no forgiveness, no fellowship with God. And so he says, when thou hearest, forgive. May you and I keep that with us for the rest of our lives. God, when you hear me, forgive me. What a thought. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would, please, as we go to the Lord in prayer.